Well, this morning I want to look at heaven, the everlasting home of the redeemed. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What makes a home? It's my question. Is it the address? Is it the shop or barns outside? Is the architectural style of your home? But what makes a home is the people that are in there. You may live in a bigger or nicer house than someone else lives in. However nice your home may be, they will never refer to your house as their home. And the reason being, the people that mean the most to them don't live there. What makes a home are the people who live there. Am I correct? Everybody's kind of like, yeah, thinking it through, that's right. But what makes heaven, heaven? Is it the streets of gold? Is it the river of life? And all the material, like the gemstones, all used to build the city? Is that heaven? I know that heaven is far greater than your wildest imaginations. We only just see a little bit of it in God's word. God designed heaven. He designed this world. He designed heaven. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? What makes heaven, heaven, is those who are there. Who's in heaven? Come on, you can answer. Jesus is there. It's correct. Our Savior is there. Isn't our Heavenly Father there as well? Is He there? And what about our guide, the Holy Spirit? He is there as well. And also our loved ones who have gone on before us are there now waiting for us as well. This past week, we finally got word yesterday, a professor at school that I went to college, Bible college, he had a congenital heart disease. He was a good friend as well. Passed into eternity yesterday. So, and it was a couple weeks ago that he was told to go home and prepare for eternity. So that's what he did. They sent him home. And his family gathered, and they were there when he left. And this is the hope of all Christians and our Christian life, that there is heaven that we're going to go to. I'm going to look at a verse in actually in 1 Kings 10:7. It's about Queen Sheba who visited King Solomon, and she heard all about him and decided to go and visit him. And after a few days, she said these words, "I do not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me." So this morning, I want to whet your appetite about your everlasting home, heaven, so that when you get there as well, see Jesus, look around, and you will say, "The half was not told to me. This is far greater than anything I've ever seen." I mean, before I begin, we all need to know heaven is a real, actual place. Jesus said in John 14:3, he said, "I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back again and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So Jesus is there preparing a place for you and me. It's an actual place. And I pray that you have made your preparation to go to heaven. Have you? Have you made your preparation? Come on. You better answer that one. The answer is what? Yes. Let's pray, shall we? And Father, as we step into your word and begin to look at what heaven is and what is not there, how we can prepare for it, Father, just open our minds and our hearts. And be with me as I speak. I speak for you, and I'm just your vessel. In your name, amen. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is what will not be in heaven. Heaven's going to be an unbelievable place. Why? Because of the many things that will not be there. The world in which we live in is filled with a million destructive things. Some of us can think of them right now, as such as sickness. It's all around us. Diseases, pollution, weather extremes. Man, we've had some real weather extremes in the last few months, haven't we? Look all around the world. Abuse of all types and death and many more. But none of these destructive things will be in heaven. Someday soon, very soon, we'll be free from them for all eternity. Amen? Boy. First thing is, there will be no night in heaven. Revelation 22:5 says, there'll be no more night. You have to realize that night is symbolic of the darkness of sin. If you remember the event that took place in the upper room when Judas left, and the Apostle John tells us that he went into the what? Into the darkness. He went into sin. The world in which we live is clothed in the darkness of sin. And without Jesus, many walk about in the darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And none of us likes to venture out in the darkness. Do you like to go running around in the dark? How many of you like doing that? Why not? Maybe there's some oddball people in here, but anyways, that's okay. You know why? There's lots of dangers. Think about it. Sounds. How many of you ever walked down in a dark path, no flashlight, and all of a sudden you heard a crack? How far did you jump? About like that. How about a rustling noise? You've got no idea what that is, right? How about a squeak or a squeal? I was walking in the bush one day, coming home from the church. It was behind our house, came through the bush into the house. I got just close to my home. How many ever heard a buck snork? Could you imagine that being like about 5 feet away from you? I tell you, I was just about passed out. I was terrified. When you hear this poof, screeching noise, I'm like, oh man. But I guess he was sleeping and I woke him up. What about animals? You walk in the dark, you're going to run into some animals. I lived in the West Coast and walked in the dark. There was a few times you ran into something that really smelled bad. What was that? Skunk, right? And on the West Coast, we have those nice, great big green, long, black slugs. You know, those big ones? Ooh, yeah, you step on them. How about a bear? I can remember canoeing with some friends and we're portaging to some lakes. And we're at the fourth lake and we are prepared now to head back home again. And we had a small pup tent and four of us sleeping at four guys. And that night, the bear pressed his nose against the tent wall real close. And you can hear in the ear. Pretty scary. How about a rake? Some of you guys are laughing because you know what I'm talking about, right? I remember as children, I was playing kick the can with the neighbor kids in our farm. And like all of us doing yard work, we usually leave our equipment where we just dropped it, right, after we finished. And I remember listening, and also I could hear this. I know my brother was coming around the back of the house, and all of a sudden I heard like a thump. And I heard him groan, and then I hit him, and he hit the ground. He stepped on the rake and got it right here. Bam, out he went. Scared the dark. And I found an interesting verse in Psalms 104, verse 20. It says, you, and that is God, brings darkness. It becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. That's one reason why we're afraid of the dark. We don't know what's in there or what's around there. And it's not safe to even walk in certain towns or cities at night because that's when a lot of stuff takes place. A lot of crime takes place at night. You know, a lot of stuff takes place. I have a verse here found in Thessalonians 5:7. For those that get drunk at night. So a lot of things take place at night. A lot of places do. Some of us even understand what I'm talking about when you think about driving. Ever driven at night and you drove and the pavement is so dark it sucks up your light of your car? Is it hard to see? Pretty frightening. You wonder why there was accidents that happened. Therefore, not only it's only natural to fear the darkness, especially the physical, but also the darkness of sin. In Revelation 22:5, it says there will be no more night. And then in verse 27 of Revelation 21, it says, nothing impure will ever enter heaven, nor anyone who does what is sinful or shameful or deceitful, but only those names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the darkness of sin will not be there no more, physically and spiritually, its presence forevermore. Amen? That's gone. The darkness of sin is gone. Also, too, there will be no more pain in heaven. All of us know that pain is good, but also bad. Pain helps us to know when something or an activity is going to cause us a world of hurt. But for some of us, pain is a constant companion. In spite of all the medical stuff that we have, some of us live in constant pain, day and night. But we all suffer painful things, whether physical. How many of you ever cut your finger? Yeah. How many broke a bone? Yes. I can tell you right now, being a carpenter, in my day we used to swing hammers for nails, not air guns too much. And once in a while I hit the wrong nail. You know? And I suffer for it today. You know, they still feel it. But now, spiritual. All of us have attacks upon our faith. There's a dark world that's around us. We talked about that. That we don't see. And sometimes that world attacks us. Mental, worry, depression. Some of us are depressed at this time and what we're going through. Some of us are worried about what tomorrow holds. And emotional things in our lives. Painful at times, almost unbearable. But in heaven, there will be no more pain. In fact, in Revelation 21:4, it says there will be what? No more pain. For the old order of things have passed away. Yes, our glorified bodies, the new bodies that we're going to get and possess in heaven will no longer be subject to any kind of pain. Any kind. Also, too, there will be no sorrow in heaven. And we find that in Revelation 21:4. There will be no more mourning or crying. Our world and even our lives are filled with sorrow. In visitation to homes, when I was pastoring, I found that every home has been touched by sorrow. Even when we greet each other, it's interesting. When we all come into the church entryway there, and we greet each other, what is the first thing we put on? Smile. We give a cheerful hello. Yet, you know, sometimes behind all of it, there are hearts filled with sorrow. Things hadn't gone that well this week or in the last few days. Sorrow is part of this life, but in heaven there will be no mourning, no crying, no sorrow, no grief. And most importantly, no more painful goodbyes. No more goodbyes. And fourth, there'll be no worries in heaven. I know it's easy for all of us to worry. Even Jesus said, do not worry about your life. You know why he said that? Because we do worry. That's why he said it for. And he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? I think when we worry a lot, we end up taking an hour from our lives. I know for a fact, no one is absolutely free of worry. We all worry about our health. How many of you worry about your health? Are concerned about it? We all do. How about your family, your friends? Do you worry about them sometimes? Yes, we do. Money, financial. Sometimes it gets pretty tight, especially around this time and what we're going through right now. And employment. Employment, another one to worry about. This is all common to all of us, but in heaven there will be no worries, nothing to trouble us for all eternity. Nothing. And of course, there will be no more temptations and no sin in heaven. When Satan deceived Eve and Adam disobeyed God's direct command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Sin entered into the world immediately. The Bible also tells us we are born in sin and go astray from the time we are born. The seeds of sin are inherited in every child. And those seeds will grow as the years progress. In fact, in Psalms 51:5, it says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful the time my mother conceived me." And then 58:3, "Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward and speak lies." We know that sin is a big problem in our world today. But I want you to know that God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness are the greatest things in the whole universe. Yes, we all give in to temptation from time to time. Yes, we sin from time to time. But Jesus can help us. We need to get into his word. And as this old hymn says, take the name of Jesus everywhere as a shield from every snare. If temptations around you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. And let me warn you, whether you're young, prime of life, middle-aged, over the hill, or elderly, you're never free from temptation or sin. Never. Never will be. Your old life that you used to live is going to rise up against you. Temptation is going to be there. And of course, Satan's going to throw his arrows and all his stuff at you from time to time. So I urge you to pray without ceasing. Always have God's words in your mind. Live so close to Jesus that you can hear his heart beating. Remember that? Remember the upper room? When John was there, and John leaned over to Jesus and he laid on his chest. What did he hear? Did he hear Jesus' heartbeat? That's how close we are to live to our Savior, that we hear his heart. But when we get to heaven, Satan will not be there. Sin will not be there. All that will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. And we as God's children will be free forevermore. What a day that will be, eh? What a day. The sixth one I'm going to look at is there will be no sea in heaven. Revelation 21 says, and there was no longer any sea. Interesting words. Because there are some of us who love the sea. How many of you love to go out in the ocean fishing? I grew up on the ocean. The ocean was second nature. My father was a shipwright in Vancouver, and we had a small farm as well. So I grew up on the water. Used to canoe on the Gulf Islands back and forth, canoe across the sounds and swim in the oceans there. But when we realize what the sea speaks of, we can understand these words. First of all, the sea speaks of storms. During a storm, the sea roars. You can hear it before you see it. It pounds. It brings up all kinds of junk onto the beach, just leaving just a pile of mess and destruction. Ever seen that? Ever seen that? In life, each of us has and will encounter storms, such as temptation, trials, sorrow, sickness, financial. Well, let me remind you, because Jesus is Lord of the sea, we are safe any storm that life throws at us. But there are times we forget that Jesus is with us. Jesus told the disciples one day, you know, let's go across to the other side. Jesus climbs in the boat with his disciples, goes to the front of the boat, lays his head on a pillow and does what? Falls asleep. And while they're out on the lake, what hits? A storm. And did you notice that they struggled and struggled to the point where they're almost done? And it finally dawns on, like light bulb came on, goes, oh, Jesus is here. Let's ask him to get us out of this. And that's sometimes like us. We seem to want to struggle in the storms of life when we can just hand them over to him and he'll take care of us and bring us through them safely. But when we arrive in heaven, all the storms of life will be over, safely at home at last. And the sea speaks of restlessness. The sea is never still. It's always in motion. It rises, it falls, it goes out, and it comes in. I was on the Queen Charlotte Islands fishing, and I was down at one of the beaches there, and I remember someone warned me about the tide that came in there. Even though it was 15, 20 feet down from the road, they said, when the tide starts coming in, by the time you would get to the top of the road, the ocean would be at your boots already. And that was true. It came in that quickly. Sounds like our lives, though, does it not? Always in motion, always rising and falling. We are restless people, never satisfied, always on the move, consumed with restless thoughts and desires. That is until we awake in His presence. We're always going to be dealing with that. One moment we're living on the mountain of hope, and the next moment we're just down in the valley. But someday, very soon, we'll stand on the streets of heaven, and no longer we will be restless. We'll be at peace forevermore, for we'll be in His presence. Amen. The sea also speaks of separation. Years ago, families left the old country to come to Canada, leave behind loved ones, never to see them again. I remember the stories my grandfather told me when he took off from the communist country that where we come from, left grandma behind with the family, came to Canada. Took him 2 years before he could pay for their passage to come. He left behind all, everything. Left behind his 9 sisters, his brother, nephews and cousins, uncles and aunts. Grandma left behind all her family and came here all alone. All alone. And I know the separation was unbearable for her especially. She longed for home, but never went back again. However, as Christians, you and I are on a journey to heaven. And one thing we need to know, we will be never separated from those that we love. They're waiting there for us. And the other thing, too, most important, there'll be no more death in heaven. Verse 4 of 21, it says, there'll be no more death, for the old things, old order of things has passed away. I don't know how much time I have. I have no clue. And neither do you. None of us know how much time we have left. Some of us might not be here next week. It's quite a thought, eh? But I know this, if Jesus tarries, each one of us will go through the valley of shadow of death. However, in heaven, we will never have to face death because the last enemy to overcome is death. And we know that many people die each day. But in heaven, there will be no death. That means there will be no funerals, no graves, no farewells. Because death will be thrown in a lake of fire along with all with the one who brought death into the world. We find this in Revelation 20. The devil was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, tormented day and night forever. And death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death, and anyone's name was not found written in the book of life. They were thrown into the lake of fire. Yes, gone forever. But also these verses should compel us to go out into the harvest field as well. We need to go and make sure that those that we love and those that we know are written in what? The Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure that they're in there. Now I want to look at some of the realities of heaven. Do you want to know what heaven's like? I'll give you a little taste of some more. You know, heaven is a place of knowing. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, we find these words. And Jesus says, and I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. How many of you ever met Abraham? Isaac? Jacob? But if I get this verse correctly, we're going to know who they are because we're going to feast with them. We're going to sit with them. That means we're going to know the apostles as well. We're going to know them all. Heaven is a place of knowing and recognition. It'll be a time that we'll be with our friends and our loved ones. What a reunion. What a time that will be. In fact, there is no scriptures that suggest a cessation of all former relationships when we arrive in heaven. In fact, the restoration of relationships is clearly seen in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left till the coming of the Lord will not certainly precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Also so we will be with the Lord forever. There will come that day between heaven and earth, we will meet those that we love and recognize them again and then be ushered into heaven. And there are many passages of Scripture that imply joyous recognition and reunion. So the relationships of our lives today will not be severed. I believe they will continue for all eternity. Family relationships will not be broken. What a place that will be. Heaven is also described as a city. Okay, get you guys to think on that one. Heaven, of course, will be different from the cities that we live in today. Our cities, of course, we know, are filled with crime and pollution, disturbing stuff, greed and hatred and whatever else. You know, none of that stuff will be in heaven. And as I said, heaven is, as a city, is found in Revelation 21:2. John has been transported from the island of Patmos into the future. And he was also transported into heaven. And John says these words, I, John, what? Saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. That means that place is already existing. It's already there. John saw it. And he sees it coming out of heaven, down from out of heaven from God, and what? Be prepared. It's already built. It's already there. As a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. So heaven is like a city. When you think of a city, that includes relationships, activities, responsibilities, unity, socialization, communion, cooperation. As God's children, you and I will live and work together in perfect harmony and unity for all eternity. What a day that will be, eh? A day to see and experience. Of course, because of that, heaven will be a place of happiness. Filled with joy, filled with excitement. When I think of happiness, I always think of music. Always comes to my mind. Heaven will be a place filled with music. And scriptures tells us that music and singing makes us what? Joyful, happy, and restores our souls. And I often think of my dad. My dad would come home from work, and there would be sometimes I could see in his face something's not right. I could see it. And he would go into the living room and he'd pick up his guitar and he'd go out and he would sit on the back porch in his chair and looking over the farm. And I would listen as he would begin to play and sing. And I could hear his heart as he struggled with what was going on during the day. After about 15 minutes, it all changed. His heart was happy. It's filled with joy. But there are many like myself. You can't play or sing that well, but enjoy music. And when we get to heaven, I'm going to tell you this. We're going to sing. So you better learn it now. In verse 7 of chapter 5, it says, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And they sang a new song. Then the voices of many angels, and they encircled the throne, living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, and every creature in heaven. Boy, what a noise that's going to be, eh? Wow. A place of joy, happiness expressed through singing and worshiping the God who rescued us from sin. Heaven is also a place of fellowship. John 14 says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to heaven there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So these verses speak of a home that is indwelt by the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. No ordinary home. Yet I know that homes mean different things to different people. For some, home speaks of strife, absence of love, abuse. For others, home is a place of love and care, nurturing, friendship and fellowship. In heaven, our home is a permanent dwelling place filled with love and activity. More importantly, heaven is the place where whom is there? Jesus is there. Without question, this is the most marvelous thing about heaven. There will be unbroken fellowship with Jesus himself for all eternity. Streets of gold, the room, the robes, the crowns would be nothing. It would mean nothing if Jesus were not there. And listen to Jesus' words again to all of us. I'm going to repeat them again. "If I go out to heaven and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." In heaven, we'll actually see Jesus face to face. We're going to be with him for all eternity. I don't know if you remember the old Baptist hymn. I have a hard time getting through it when I read it. Called "What a Day That Will Be." How many of you know that one? What a day. Oh my goodness. All of us. Almost tempted to ask us to stand and sing it, but I'm not a very good song leader. I'm going to read the words. If you want to sing it, go ahead. I don't mind. It says, "There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be." What a day that will be. What a day. What a day when my Jesus having a tough time. Maybe we should sing it. Who knows it and who can lead us? Thanks, Chris. I think all of us know the words. What a day. Yes, there's only one way to heaven. It's found in John 14, 6. Jesus said, "I'm the way, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Don't have it in there? Oh. Maybe we can just do it without music. Can we do it? All right. It's a little different. Yes, the only way to heaven. We don't enter heaven because of our good lives, our good works, our church membership, but accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior and Lord. Ask him to forgive us our sins, cleanse us. He shed his blood for us. Are we ready?
Yeah.
No. What a day that will be. Ready?
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds
in the sky, no more tears to
cry. All this peace forevermore on that glory golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Stand. Check it out.
Jesus, and I look upon His face. By His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There will be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain. Parking over there, wherever I will be,
with the one who died for me.
What a day, glorious day that will be. Jesus, I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a great, glorious day that will be.
So my question is this: will you be there in heaven? Father, we just thank You that You have a place for us. Thank You so much. Worship team, let's close in a minute.